Blog Talk Radio.
I am immortal, I'll never fade away. I'm a legacy that lives beyond, far beyond the grave. I am immortal, I'll never rest in peace. And you're never gonna be, never gonna be, never be.
She'll be calling in a little bit later when she gets off of work. And Misty and Ashley will not be joining us tonight. They're getting back from a road trip. But joining me as a special guest co-host for tonight, he's one of the hosts of Full Spectrum Radio, Mr. CPR Matt. What's going on, man?
Not much, man. How you doing?
Doing good, man. A lot better than I was Sunday when you talked to me.
From what I can gather, is you're feeling no pain right now.
Well, you know, it's the pill form. When I was talking to y'all Sunday night on the show, I was actually getting an IV full of morphine. So Yeah.
Did you go back and listen to any of that?
No. Yeah, I'm a little bit more tamed on the highness tonight.
Yeah, I'm not going to revisit that, but on your show, but yeah, it's a good one if you got time to go listen to the time that you called in. It's yeah, you'd be like, damn, I said that.
Yeah, well, you know, my weekend started off. I got up early Saturday morning and. My stomach was, like, bloated. I looked like I was, like, 300 pounds or something. I was like, holy shit. And I was having abdominal pain, and I was kind of slumped over. I couldn't even stand up. And I was like, man, you just get that feeling in your head that something ain't right, you know, that it's not something that needs to not have attention to. So I went to the ER, and, of course, I told them, and, you know, they acted like it was no big deal. So they had me stand in line in the registration, and I had to stand there. I got registered, and they had me sit down in a waiting room and wait. And, you know, they call me in there, and then when I tell them, I get back there, and I tell the nurse, and she thought I was dehydrated or something, blah, blah, blah. And they took me and did a CAT scan. Well, once I got the CAT scan results, you just see they totally shift, you know. Here the nurse comes in with a big old shot of morphine, and I was like, and they hadn't told me yet. And I was like, okay, well, she's giving me morphine. The doctor's ordered it, so it must be something a little bit more serious than what they acted like prior to the CAT scan. And then the doctor comes in and goes, yeah, you're – appendix is about to rupture, and we're going to have to do emergency surgery. You know, I was just like, okay, that's kind of crazy, you know? It's just funny how their demeanor changed, you know? They thought maybe I was just full of shit, you know? You know, I'm sure they get a lot of people in there with stuff that's not very serious. But, yeah, I had my appendix taken out later that day and was in the hospital till yesterday. So I'm finally home.
Yeah, I'm glad you're okay, man. That was, you know, when you sent me that text, I was like, oh, damn. I mean, you know, people don't think, like, your appendix is pretty much a worthless organ. It doesn't do anything. But it's, you know, if you're having issues with it and you don't get an appendectomy, that can wreak havoc as far as toxicity once it gets into your system. So it's a real good thing they caught it when they do. Hell yeah. And it doesn't take long.
No. They said if I'd have waited any longer, yeah, it would have been bad, you know. So everything happens for a reason. I got fixed up, so I'm home now and on some drugs, and life's good. Oh,
well,
man.
Good, man. Like I said, I'm glad you're all right. I was kind of nervous about it, but... it did kind of calm me down in the fact that you were texting me basically while everything was going on, so at least I knew that you were okay, and they didn't sedate you instantly and say, no, we got to cut them open right here in the waiting room.
Yeah.
So,
even when I'm on the hospital bed and drugged up and in pain, I still worry about my network, and I was making sure that you and Jeff had it handled for Sunday. That's just the way I am. But we're going to have two guests on tonight. They should be calling in shortly. We're doing it a little bit different. You know, this is a paranormal show, but we cover everything, and just about every one of us that are in the paranormal, we're huge horror fans, you know, with all the scary movies that are out there. I've been in the horror movies long before I was into the paranormal. And, so tonight we're going to talk horror movies, and, we got two great, actresses that are going to join us, and, we're going to talk about that, and it'll be Devaney and, Aaron. And, here in just a few more minutes, I'll read their bio. They got huge careers as far as what they've done in their lives so far when it comes to the show business. They all both started at an early age, so I'll talk about that in a minute. Just so that everybody knows, there's shows on this network 7 days a week. We have a new show starting this Friday called GAC Family Radio, and it's all geared around ghost adventures and talk about the shows and news in the ghost adventures world. So any fans of the show, it's an hour show, and that's all they're going to talk about. And hopefully in a couple weeks, they will be having Nick Roth on. So that'll be a great show for them. So we want to welcome Carly and Brian to the network. Those are the hosts of the show. And so, yeah. And you can find us on Twitter under URN Radio. And anytime we do a show, a tweet goes out to let you know we're live and sends a link. And you can also keep track of us on the URN Radio Network Facebook page. If you're not already a fan, go and like that page. We're always having all different kinds of guests. Matt here does a show on Wednesdays and also hosts with me on Sundays. But every show does something different. It's not always talking about ghosts. It could be everyday life. I know Matt and Dennis have done shows on firemen and police officers, talked about H.H. Holmes up there in Chicago. And so there's lots of different things that go on in the network. So for some of you that this is your first time listening, just wanted to share that with you if you're into this kind of stuff. So that's my selfless plug for the evening.
Yeah, and that's even, you know, on Wednesdays we're discussing, I have some interesting ones coming up with paramedicine and nursing, also to do with, I'm doing another Hollywood show besides the one that I had a while ago. I'm trying to figure out, well, this kind of ties into the Hollywood end a little bit, so that's pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, we Dennis and I have some great stuff coming up. Oh, we're figuring out how to do this. What we want to do is, I have friends that they basically run over the road trucking. So we're gonna get a couple over the road truckers and do it like it's a CB style show, and just talk about, you know, stuff that truck drivers encounter, and you don't think about it. You just think, oh, look at that, you know, big thing. Oh, that guy's driving like a jerk. Well, there might be a reason why the guy's going slow and all that kind of stuff. So hopefully, considering I'm also going to be going for my CDL soon, I thought that'd be a pretty cool show to have, just to get a perspective of the big, you know, 74-foot vehicle that you're passing by and why he's doing what he's doing, or she. Sandy White, I know you know Sandy, right, Kevin? I think we lost Kevin. So anyway, but yeah, we're gonna have some great stuff coming up shortly. I don't know where Kevin went, and he should be calling back in a second. Unless he doesn't know that he's off air. He is probably on hydrocodone, a.k.a. Vicodin. So we'll see about that. But anyway, I am really excited to talk to these fine ladies about the work that they do and in the horror business. I do have...
Back, by the way.
Yeah, where the hell did you go?
I got cut off. I screened in calls. So let me go back. I got some people on hold. I got kicked off. So hang on 1 second. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So you disappear for a minute. But, yeah, so we have some great stuff coming up. It's an interesting ride, yeah. If this is the first time that you're joining the show or the network or the episodes. We got stuff that's kind of all over the board. It's not just all about paranormal or horror or anything like that. It's tributes to the men and women who take care of us, who help us out, get kind of the name out, get some information going on. Man, what is going on with this? Anyway, it keeps popping up on my screen and it's asking me to end the episode, so yeah, I'm not going to go ahead and do that, but technical difficulties, gotta love Blog Talk, a.k.a. you suck ass royally. Just want to put that out there as a disclaimer for everybody. But, yeah, so we got a whole bunch of stuff going on. The reason that I'm really looking forward to this show tonight is I have family who has worked in the entertainment industry for decades upon decades, behind the scenes and the forefront. Got true, dear friends, the family, who are actors and actresses. The one night we had Tom Dreesen on the show, who opened for Frank Sinatra for, I think it was somewhere around 26 years. Oh, no, I'm sorry, 14 years. Traveled the country with him, got to hear all the information about what he got to experience, and also Kim Estes, who was on Cold Case Files. If you IDBM them, interesting, very interesting stories. We got more stuff coming up, but yeah, looking for, Jim Kripp, who is the helicopter zombie in the original Dawn of the Dead, another great, great guy. My friend Willie Atkins, who's local here, but he's a phenomenal producer and director of strictly horror films. So, yeah, I'm actually pretty excited once we get over these hurdles that's going on. So give me 1 second. Let me work out these bugs. Going to go and play a little something while we try and figure out what is going. Kevin, you back?
I'm here. I'm going to bring. It seems like every time I try to screen a call, it kicks me off. So I have to redial in. Melissa is calling in, our other host, so I'm going to bring her on air while I got 2 more calls to screen, and then we'll get Devaney, she's on hold, and we'll bring her on. So,
that works.
Let's see here.
Yeah, because I'm just sitting here talking to my damn self. I see all these calls on hold.
Melissa, you with us?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm here.
Okay. Good. Hey, Melissa. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you doing?
I can't complain. I get to join you fine folks on a Tuesday evening, so of course I'm fine.
Oh, okay.
You never met Matt. This is Matt. He hosts with Dennis on Wednesday night. I know you know Dennis.
Okay, yeah, right? He friended me on Facebook. Yeah, I've never seen his name.
Yeah. Yep, that is me, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know Dennis. I actually did a couple ghost investigations with him.
Yes, I know you know Dennis, so you know that I'm a crazy ass just like he is.
Yeah, he's a hoot. He's a
hoot. So how are you doing on this fine Tuesday?
I just got off work.
So better now than a little bit ago.
Yeah, that's true. Well, it's 9:20 where I am, so, yeah. No, I just got off work. It's been a long day, that's all I can say.
Yeah, I hear you. I do 6 days a week, 10.5 hours a day, so. And, of course, Kevin dropped again. I'm watching the board, and I have to keep clicking continue, or else it's going to end the show, and we got everybody who's waiting. So Kevin will be calling back in, and then hopefully he's got everybody in order. But
so what's the topic for tonight? What are we talking about?
Tonight's actually going to be a fun one. It's a little bit different than the normal paranormal shows that most of us do on the network. We have Devaney and Aaron, who are horror... There he is.
I'm back. Once again, when I screamed, another call I got kicked off. But here we go. I'm gonna get our guest on tonight. And here's a little bit about them. Our guests tonight are Devaney Penn and Erin Marie Hogan. Devaney is an actress hailing from Southern California who is best known for her work in independent horror cinema. She's been a performer since the age of 3. Devaney grew up in New Jersey starring in musical and ballet productions. At age 12, she performed with the Moscow Ballet. She attended college on an opera scholarship and soon landed her first lead role in the horror film The Lonely Ones. Devaney has since appeared on television programs such as Dexter, Vegas, and Sci-Fi's Monster Man. She was a finalist on VH1 reality shows Rock of Love and Scream Queens, and has been in several music videos as well. She's been dubbed a Scream Queen and has appeared in over 30 horror films. Recent hits such as Truth or Dare and The Black Dahlia Haunting continue to showcase her passion for the horror game and has managed to win her accolades for her performances as well. Next up is Charles Manson's biopic, House of Manson, in which Devaney co-stars as notorious murderess Susan Atkins in what may be her most challenging role yet. Having recently begun work behind the cameras as an independent producer, she has brought a sharp eye to productions, tackling both real-world and fantastical subject matter. And also we have Erin Marie Hogan. She has appeared in several feature films, including Paranormal Entity and Six Guns, and in numerous short films, including Red Ink, Mistaken, Love Stories, Part 2. She produced and directed the short film Stiletto Kitten, and she's also appeared in numerous stage productions, portraying Maria in The Sound of Music and Rose Smith in Meet Me in St. Louis, as among others. So let's bring our guest on, and here we go.
Hello. Devaney,
you there? Hey.
I'm here. Hi. Thank you for having me.
And we do have Erin as well. Erin, you there?
Yeah. Hi. How are you?
Doing good. Yeah, we had a little bit of technical difficulties, but that's what happens with live radio sometimes.
Yeah, sorry. I had to mute myself for a second. The dogs were going nuts. So, hi, ladies. How are you tonight?
Hi. Doing well. Thank you.
Dogs always pick the most inopportune times.
Well, I read a little bit about you, Devaney, and you, Erin. Both of you have been doing the entertainment for a good while of your life.
We keep getting to work.
We're in two different places, so this will be interesting. go ahead, Devaney.
We'll let Erin talk for right now. I know you guys are involved in the paranormal world a little bit, and she has some expertise in that. We're also we're coming on together tonight to promote our next film that we are co-starring in called Dwelling, which is a paranormal film that we're shooting in Buffalo next month. So that's going to be the focus of what we're working on right now. But I'll let her talk so I can do what I'm doing here for a minute, and then I'll come back and join you.
Sounds good.
Okay.
So, Erin, where was the, she kind of cut out during that. Where is the movie being filmed?
We're going to be shooting a film called Dwelling in Buffalo next month. We'll be shooting that together. It's a paranormal thriller that we're currently kind of working on raising our full budget for, but we're really excited about it. It's a really great, interesting script that I'm personally really excited to do because I feel like it's going to be really challenging for me, something that I really enjoy and something that I want people to see me doing. So, yeah, I'm really excited, and I'm really excited to work with Devaney again. We've been in three things together. This will make three. It should be just a really, really good picture. So we're really excited about that.
Now you mentioned that it's a paranormal movie.
Yes.
Have you ever had any paranormal experiences or ever been interested in the paranormal, you know, paranormal realm?
Yeah, definitely. And I've always been interested in it. I've always been interested in things that I can't necessarily explain. And it's just kind of fun for me to think that we don't necessarily know everything about the world. I think it's kind of pretentious of us to think that we know everything about the world and everything that exists. So it's fun for me to be involved in paranormal investigations and things like that, where, you know, maybe we'll find out something different, something else exists, and maybe we won't. So that's always been an interest of mine. I've always been casually involved in the technical aspect of paranormal investigations. That's something that I'll probably continue as well.
Oh, yeah. You know, and Matt and I were talking about at the beginning of the show, one thing I'm going to start doing more of is bringing people like yourself and Devaney, folks that are in the entertainment industry and the movies, because all of us that are in paranormal, we're all huge horror movie fans, you know? I know I've been a horror movie fan since I was little and long before I got into the paranormal. So, you know, having people on that do horror movies, you know, it's always been a fascinating subject myself, because I went to school, to college, and got a theater degree. So I've acted in I don't know how many stage productions, and I've been in a few movies myself. So I'm a fan of not only the movies, but a fan of acting and what you girls have to do to prepare for, you know, a movie you're shooting for.
Yeah, definitely. And I think this particular film, The Dwelling, that we're shooting up in Buffalo next month together, it's a really good combination of both the paranormal aspect and the horror movie aspect. It's a very slow burn thriller type of thing that's entirely based around the idea of trying to get in contact with a loved one that has passed away that you want to speak to. You have questions for that person and you want to talk to them, and finding a way to do that. And that's really pretty much entirely what the movie is about. And I feel like a lot of us that are interested in the paranormal or that investigate the paranormal have had some kind of experiences in the past where we've wanted to talk to somebody. We didn't feel like we had closure before they died, or we had some kind of experience where we felt like somebody who died was trying to tell us something. And so this entire movie is based around these people that are living trying to get in contact with the dead in order to ask them specific questions and in order to be able to speak with them because they can't find closure. So I think it's something both interesting. I think it's relatable in that aspect. And I think it's also very unique. It's a very unique script, and it's very well written.
Nice.
I would definitely agree with that. That's been kind of a topic of conversation, and me personally, you know, having a psychology background, as far as what happens to a person when they try and get in contact with a loved one, and then there's the taboo-ness of if you should, but well, I'll save that for a whole other conversation. Kevin, what you were talking about in the movies that you've done, those are movies that are not appropriate. And I would not gloat about them.
No. I was I was lucky enough to be a very small part in the movie W. I got to meet Oliver Stone and Josh Brolin and Elizabeth Banks, and I worked with them shortly for about 4 or 5 hours, the shoot that we did, the scene. But, yeah, it was pretty cool to talk with Oliver Stone, you know. You don't necessarily get to do that every day, you know, run into somebody like that. So, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, it wasn't adult. It wasn't adult films, damn it.
Hey, I gotta take the stabs when you set them up. I mean, it's just it's what we do.
I know. Melissa's over there laughing.
Yeah, I'm just thinking. I'm like, okay, y'all.
But yeah,
well,
you know.
Real quick, I noticed, and I'm not going to give any information away, obviously, but. Aaron, I noticed by your area code, if it's actually calling from your phone, that you are in the area that Jody is in. Have you ever got to meet up with her?
I'm sorry, you cut out. But who?
Yeah, it's just noticing by the area code of where you're calling from, as you're in the vicinity of where Jody Parks is at. Have you ever got to meet up with her or do investigation with her?
You know, I haven't. Most of the things that I've gotten a chance to do at this point, investigation-wise, have been things that I just kind of put together with people that I know are interested, and they've been fairly casual for now, but I'm hoping to move more into taking that a little bit more seriously, but not too seriously. It's kind of a really, really fun hobby for me.
Aaron, tell them about the investigations that you have coming up that you're a guest at.
I'm actually going to be a guest on, there's an investigation going on that I believe there's still tickets for. It's happening at the Missouri State Penitentiary in Jefferson City, Missouri. And I'll be a guest there. I'll be participating, and I think we'll also be doing dinner and things like that with people who are coming. But there will be a couple of different people from the show Ghost Hunters. They're investigating with us. And, yeah, you can go check out my manager's website. It's idealeventmanage.com, and he's selling the tickets. It's an all-night event. So you'll buy the tickets, be involved in the investigation, and, you know, obviously we don't have to talk about, you know, the history of Missouri State Penitentiary. So that'll be really fun. And I think there's still tickets available for that.
Is that through Mark?
Yes, that's with Mark.
Okay. Yeah, I know Mark.
Yeah, so he'll be putting on that whole thing. And so I'm really excited. For a while there, we didn't think it was going to happen. They shut down the penitentiary for a short while, and but it looks like now they've reopened it, and so we're going to be able to do it. So it's a go.
Right. And what Matt was mentioning, Aaron, is a good friend of ours. She actually was my co-host on this show for the last 2 years, and she's in the paranormal. And she actually lives in the same city as you do. So, yes, and you'll have to look her up. Jody Parks, and she was on Paranormal Challenge. She's been on several shows for her other talents. She's the queen of burps. Got the world record for female burp. So she's been on a lot. She's been on Howard Stern and several other shows for that. But really cool girl, and she knows a lot of stuff around that area. If you ever wanted to just go out and, you know, do some investigating, because Jody's great at what she does.
Yeah, but, always. Every time I'm back, I'm consistently just, I'm always at the Limp Mansion. I have to be there. There's just some reason why I can't.
It's hard with our filming schedules and with all the things that we have to do. There's a lot of travel that's involved, and we don't always get to participate. I think that's why Erin's looking forward to this event that she's going to. I'm newer to paranormal. I actually learned about it from Brett Griffith from Sci-Fi's Ghost Hunters. And he actually wanted to get into horror films, and I was curious about paranormal, and so we teamed up on Black Dahlia Haunting, and I got to meet a lot of the people involved in those shows and do investigations with them. And so I started a skeptic and ended up really having fun. And now I love all things paranormal. And Aaron and I didn't meet, but we actually filmed the same movie, which is called Hold Your Breath, which is kind of a popcorn movie, but it is technically paranormal. You guys, check it out. It's on Netflix streaming. You can see our first movie together. And then from there, we met at a con, and I actually had an interest in working with her specifically because of the paranormal element and some of these other people that are involved. So we're excited to do Dwelling. And we also did House of Manson, the Charles Manson biopic with Britt. KJ from the show made a cameo in my last film, Dead Sea. And a lot of the guys, Tip Coffee, trying to remember, Amy Bruni, Grant, they've all been really supportive of the kind of horror paranormal crossover. So it's been really, really interesting to go and see. I just investigated the Stanley. That was really cool. I love that. Have any of you guys been there?
I haven't personally, but I have a lot of friends that have been there, and they've had some crazy things happen to them when they were there.
Yeah, it was really cool. The grounds are amazing, for one. It's a beautiful location, and we had a sold-out event, so everyone was there to come and visit and investigate, and it was crazy. We had two different nights and a bunch of different groups, and it was only moderately active one of the nights, and then the night that I went, I, of course, showed up just in time for all the cool stuff to happen, and I'm new to all the technology, but this particular group was using all kinds of bells and whistles and lights, and everything was lighting up and going off, and they were responding to questions, like, point blank. It was really a lot of fun.
Yeah, I jokingly all the time talk about some of the things that I've seen since I've been in the paranormal, and some of the crazy stuff that I've seen you would think would be in a horror movie. You know, and I saw stuff happen with my own two eyes. I was just like, there's no way in hell that just happened, but it did.
Yep, absolutely. I was a complete skeptic. I mean, I came from horror films, so I thought, you know, all these elements just happen in the movies, and everyone's, you know, just pushing the button when someone's not looking, or, you know what I mean? No, I every time I've gone to investigate, I have seen, witnessed stuff that I cannot explain, and it has totally flipped my view on that one. And now, exactly what Aaron said, it's just a lot of fun, and the community, the paranormal community, is really great. A lot of fun to be around and talk to and network with, and they've been really, really, really great about supporting our films and promoting us there. So so when Dwelling kind of ended up on our laps, I was like really excited to kind of do that. We had a lot of support from the paranormal community when I did Black Dahlia Haunting, and it was actually a lot of people at investigations or conventions for the paranormal that demanded to have it play there, and we ended up getting a really great distribution deal from the paranormal fans. So I'm really hoping they're going to enjoy this movie. It's kind of got a Conjuring or Insidious or what's the other one that came out? Oculus. Kind of that feel, very spooky, really surreal, really like this could be happening to you at one of your investigations kind of feel to it. And it's a really cool script. I think that everyone's going to love it.
Okay. Now, when you guys, with this film, is it the writer, did he or she base it on anything, you know, actually that has happened, like a combination of people that have talked to the writers, or is it just something that, you know, is completely, you know, made up,
you know what?
Into a good story?
Kyle Mecca is a writer and director, and he's out of Buffalo, New York. And I actually was trying to get him on tonight. If you're not listening to this right now, you probably will be tomorrow. So hello, Kyle. I wanted to get him on so he could tell you what he was thinking when he wrote it. Unfortunately, I don't know, but it is a fascinating question, so I'm going to try and get back and share that with this feed at a later time. It has a very real feeling, and me, I tend to do Aaron's done a lot of paranormal stuff and has been more involved in this, but for me, I tend to do more straight horror film. So this is refreshing to me because it feels very real. It feels like something that you would see or experience in an investigation or could actually have happened to you. So it's I'd be very curious to know where he pulled his inspiration from, because it absolutely could have been something that maybe he experienced. Erin, do you have any insight on that?
Yeah, no, I was thinking the same thing. The only thing about it is that it's so incredibly specific, and so
yeah.
it makes you wonder if he just has this amazingly unique imagination, or if something like this actually really did happen. And I haven't talked to him about that, so I'm really not sure. But it feels very real, and the dialogue itself, after doing so many horror movies, you kind of start to predict where your dialogue is going to become a bit campy. And
yes.
That's not the case with this, since it's more paranormal-based.
Yes.
The dialogue is very realistic. Yeah, it's a very,
yeah.
very smart script. So it feels very real.
If anyone's curious about taking a peek at it, there is a teaser trailer online already, which hopefully I'll get your host to share with you. If not, I will direct you to the Facebook page, and you can check it out. The trailer's live. It's gotten a lot of press for horror sites, and some of the paranormal community has found it already, so we're very fortunate. There is also a Kickstarter for the film, so if anybody wants to get involved with it, we are shooting next month, but the Kickstarter is live right now, so you can get perks, be involved. There's everything from psychic readings to executive producer credits on the film, and tickets to the screening, and all kinds of really cool stuff that you can get involved and have early access to the film. I'll share those links with you guys in case you want to repost them.
Hi, Devaney, I have y'all's producers on air with us now.
All right, awesome.
Okay.
They can probably give you some more insight.
And
Erin. Hi, girl. Hello.
We were actually listening in, and that question that had been asked before about the inspiration kind of behind the script, we can answer that.
Yeah.
Just because I know we've been working with the writer and director, Kyle Mecca, for a while on the script now, and he's kind of divulged his whole inspiration and theory behind it to us. And I know it's been heavily, inspired?
Yes.
Yeah, and heavily inspired by, and it's kind of an homage to classic horror movies, so like what, The Omen,
Rosemary's Baby.
Things. He's always been a classic horror fan, and with that kind of slow burn that you feel throughout the movie. So that's really what he was going for when he was writing the script. And as well, he's done a ton of research on actual paranormal practices and theories and myths and everything. He's done a lot of research on it and has included all these kind of nods toward those myths and classic films, as well as kind of he has brought on some of his own experiences and stories he was told when he was younger. He's really kind of webbed them all together into the script in a very unique way, and as the girls were saying, it feels very real.
Yeah, he's been working on the script for at least a few years now, I think. I know he's been inspired by it his whole life, but I think he started working on it like 3 years ago. Like before we even met him, I think he started working on it.
Yeah.
Sweet. I talked to Andrea Perrone, who was one of the family members that the movie The Conjuring was based off of. And
cool.
We had her on the show, and I was talking to her because, you know, her and her family actually live a lot of the stuff that went on in the movie. And, of course, you know, I know this of being an actor. When it comes to making movies, you have to have a storyline, right? You have to have a good plot and a climax and whatnot. And when I was talking to her, you know, they did embellish some things. They did add things, you know, to the movie to make the storyline flow. So that's
right.
Why I was asking about about the script for your show, your movie, if, you know, it was all based on actual events or, you know, a combination, you know, to get a good story.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely both. He was more story-based, and he was really open to ideas, too, about just what would be really scary, and I guess a lot of that just came down to imagination.
Yeah, he's aiming to really get a good, like a good horror film.
Yeah, some substance to it, you know, not just, you know, boo, and then it's over with. He wants something that's going to seem good.
Well, you know, because you know, with horror films, a lot of the times, because I've watched just about every horror movie that's out there, you kind of know sometimes when something's going to happen, you know? You already know in your mind something's about to happen. What I always like is when the director fools you, you know? It's his ha-ha moment. Well, you thought I was going to scare you there, but no, I'm going to get you here, and you don't expect it. And that's what I like about those kinds of movies.
Well, this movie, and you'll see if you watch the trailer, it's more of a build-up, suspense, on the edge of your seat kind of thing instead of, like, cheap jump-out-at-you kind of moments. It's eerie. It's kind of unsettling, spooky even. You know, when you're waiting in an investigation in the dark and at any moment you know something's going to happen, but it's that anticipation and build-up waiting for that moment. That's kind of how the whole movie feels. So it's and I usually do exactly what you're talking about. I usually do the films where, you know, it's a fun experience, but you kind of feel when the beats are going to happen and you kind of know what's going to happen. And this is definitely a movie, and a lot of paranormal fans I found this year in doing tours that I have, a lot of paranormal fans do like certain types of horror. And I think the horror genre is very much right now geared towards paranormal fans. And I think this is a movie that's going to fit right in there nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, and one thing that we talk about a lot on the show when we're talking about the paranormal and whatnot is it seems like just like any movie that comes out, you know, they have their what's hot, basically what people want to see at that time period, right?
Yes,
and it
absolutely
seems like right now, when it comes to the, you know, the paranormal, hot, still hot topic, and I see a lot of movies portraying the demonic side to the paranormal. You know, the evil. You know what scares you, and I get it. But you know, one thing that it hurts on our end of it is all these people see these crazy movies and really outrageous things that happen demonic wise. And then we get phone calls from families scared off their ass, and the first thing they say is, I got a demon in my house, you know? And I'm like, whoa, hold up.
No, you don't. So that means business must be good for you guys then, huh?
it can be bad because we have to kind of screen, try to figure out, you know, what the hell's going on. Because the demonic side is a lot more rare than you know, just having a pissed off spirit. And there's plenty of pissed off spirits. You know, we always say if they were an asshole in life, they're an asshole in the afterlife. And we've come to find that out. Your personality goes with you to the other side.
That's exactly what the writer and director was kind of going for, is that there's not always just demons. There are bad people in this world that would be bad spirits in the afterlife, too.
Right. And, you know, we've come across that a lot in places that we've been to where, you know, there's a spirit there that in the history of that location did some really horrific things in their life. And it seems like in the afterlife, they're still trying to do that. You know, they'll scratch people and push them and choke them and do those type of things. And it's not necessarily a demonic type, you know. So a lot of times we have to try to teach, as we're going along with these clients in the homes, we have to teach them that there are good spirits and bad spirits, and it's not necessarily the worst case scenario, you know. A pissed off spirit can scratch you just as much as a demon, you know, but when somebody gets scratched, first thing they say, oh, it's a demon. No.
Well, on the flip side, there's people like me who normally wouldn't know what to do or that we could call people like yourself if we had a problem. So do you think that maybe the influence of movies or the media or the attention on paranormal as a trend right now has maybe opened the eyes to the public about everything paranormal and what you guys do for them, as opposed to maybe they would have had a serious situation before and just left, lived with it or moved out or, you know, or just on a day-to-day, and now maybe they have an idea of what they should do or what they're seeing?
Yeah, you know, it's got its pluses, too, and I definitely see that it's helped open the mind of people, and I'm sure the paranormal itself being so mainstream now has also helped all of you guys in the horror genre been able to do these type of movies, you know? So it's kind of like it helps both sides of the coin.
Hey, if I can interrupt and interject for a moment, we actually have the writer and the director of the film who is on air with us right now.
All right.
We got the whole damn gang. I mean, where's the key grip? Where's the
My ears were ringing, so I decided to call in.
Hello, welcome.
So how is everybody?
We're doing great. We're singing your praises and talking about your film. We got a great mix of people on here. We have people who are active in the paranormal world. We have newbie actors to the scene, such as myself, and everybody in between. So welcome. You can kind of give us some insight in how we're all coming together through this film.
Yeah, no problem. I know you guys had something about a question about inspiration or for the movie. I can't remember exactly what it was. But
yeah, it was more what's the background story, or what inspired you to write the film, and what the complete background that fascinated you so much that you're like, okay, I have to do this.
Okay, well, it's kind of a sweet story, which is kind of weird for a horror film, but when I was younger, my grandfather and I used to spend time all the time. Just all the time. And he was kind of the person who got me into wanting to tell stories for a living and wanting to write and wanting to make movies. And whenever I was, like, driving home with him, we lived pretty far away from him, and I used to always ask him, oh, can you tell me a story, tell me a story? And he used to just make up stuff off the top of his head. And one of them involved this certain object, which is the object that's inside the story, and it always stuck with me, but he never finished that story. So, but the concept was so cool to me that it was like, I want to finish that story for myself. So it's always been in the back of my head, and I've been trying it for years to try to work it a certain way, and sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't, and it was basically, okay, I'm going to put it in the drawer for a while and let it sit, and finally, you know, it came to me. And it's once I finally got it out here, like 2 years ago, it started working again, and then it went away for a while, and then it just, throughout my life, you know, different events kind of, you know, clued into making it work. So, I mean, like, the background's a sweet story of how the concept kind of got stuck in my head, but the actually story itself, you know, for me, it's a mixture of a couple things. Like, the idea of, you see all these movies with these people going into these haunted houses, and, but why are they going into the haunted house? You know, that's the big thing. It's, a lot of people are like, well, either you're into the paranormal, and you want to be in a haunted house, or you're in a haunted house unknowingly, and why don't you get out of there? So from my angle is, if you have a couple that actually want to go into a haunted house, it's a little bit of a different spin, because you no longer have the skeptic in in play. So I want to see where that concept goes. And that's what's, you know, mixed into this. And at the same exact time, okay, well, what would be driving this person to want to stay inside a haunted house? You know, and what if it's something that we can all feel with? You know, we've all lost someone in our lives, someone who meant, who was really close to us, who we wanted to talk to one last time. And if that drove someone so much to a point where they needed to, and they, or they wouldn't be able to move on with the rest of their life with it, maybe that's the reason. Maybe if they can find a way to talk to that person one more time, you know, maybe that's the main reason why they were going into this house. And
well,
it was just a mixture of all the three concepts, and it worked.
Well, and I'm going to dive into the psyche a little bit here. That's what my background's in psychology, so that's kind of what I do. But did you ever have an experience that involved your grandfather after he passed that kind of facilitated this, or?
Well, my grandfather's actually still alive, but my grandmother passed. And, yeah, believe it or not. So it's kind of like, and for me, it's like to tell this story why he's still alive to me is something that I've always been wanting to do. Because it's a child, you know, it's a childhood memory, and I want to tell it before, you know, he gets too old. And my grandmother passed, and that took a toll with me. But, like, for me, myself, I never really experienced, I mean, I experienced some smaller stuff, but really it's my mother who's experienced a lot in her life, and she's very in touch with it, just intuition-wise. And I think a mixture of, you know, the experiences my mother went through, the few that I have, and then with the story and the concept, it really pushed me to wanting to let my voice be heard.
Yeah, and that's, well, the reason I bring it up is I developed a theory called the 10-day theory. And it could be extended to 14 or whatever, but somebody who has lost somebody, and even if they're not into the paranormal, a lot of times from when I've talked to people who've lost somebody in grief counseling and stuff like that, is they experience that person, something about that person or a sign from that person within 10 to 14 days of their passing. Like, oh, I saw my grandmother at the foot of the bed, or grandfather, or mom, or dad, or whatever it may be. But they have, and it's kind of like the spirit end of it is the way that I take it from the description is it's that final goodbye or, hey, I'm okay. There's no proof of it. You know what I mean? Like, it could just be taken as it was their mind manifesting this experience in that situation because it's their coping mechanism, if you will. But, yeah, there's...
I totally agree with that, too. I absolutely agree with that. And, you know, like, for me myself, I can't really see experiencing that, but what I've noticed with, you know, a lot of people, it's the small stuff you have to look at. It isn't, you know, waiting to see.
I'll see you later.
Sorry about that. I need to say goodbye to my friend. See you, man. Take care. Good luck. Okay. Anyways, you know, for me, it's always the little stuff too. It isn't, you know, it isn't waiting to hear a voice or saying goodbye. You know, it's the song, hearing a song, and it's sticking with you. And that, you know, I think I've experienced that because my mom has experienced all of that, and I've heard it all my life from a lot of people. And I totally agree with that. I mean, it's like, you know, my mom's told the story about, you know, the night that her mom passed away, and she was sleeping, and she felt someone touch her cheek. And when she woke up, she knew her mom passed before anyone told her. And,
yeah, I've been
you
there,
know,
I've been
and my uncle passed away, her brother, a few years ago, and she had a lot of trouble with that, and we know this one psychic, and the one psychic said to her, she's like, just listen to the world around you, and you'll have your answer. And the day of the funeral when we were driving home, this song came on the radio. And it seems like whenever she has trouble, which, you know, and it comes to, this song comes back to her. It always plays. It'll be on the radio. It'll be on a commercial. It'll be, like, out of nowhere. So, like, for me, our past spirit, you know, our loved ones are always there trying to say something.
That's very true.
We just got to know to listen.
Yeah. Melissa, were you going to say, was that you?
Yeah, that's me. Yes, that's very true. I've lived through this ever since I was a small child. Yes, I'm a very, very sensitive person. Yes. I've seen all kinds of things throughout my life. So I can definitely understand that completely.
It's funny you say that. I was just going to bring up the fact that one of the terms the ghost hunter people taught me almost immediately was sensitives, and that some people are, in fact, more sensitive to the signs and to interaction by spirits than others. So it sounds like maybe your mother was one of those, and that, Melissa, you're one of those.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. My family is actually in my family. My grandmother was, my mom is, my dad is, my sister is. It's in our family. It has been since just looking back at the tree.
Amazing.
That's something that's I wasn't as intrigued with until I met up with a couple different ones, like Chelsea DeMolly, who was on Haunted Encounters, my friend Tracy Ann Dennis, who I host the show with. The psychic phenomena, for me, being a physical psychological person, I look for the reasoning behind things. And the stuff that Chelsea being in Utah and Dennis being in Virginia, me being in Chicago, it was amazing, the stuff. It drove me nuts trying to figure out what they were trying to figure out. And Kevin, yeah, you can blame them. That's why I'm so screwed up. I'm just kidding. but there's just so much behind it that nobody in my family or anything that I've ever experienced with my close circle of friends that are in the paranormal, half the psychics that you come across are people with abilities or physical mediums or whatever it may be. There's so many definitions. They all came across as kind of crap.
Yeah.
Until I met these group of people that opened up this whole, like, holy shit, this is real. Or the possibility of it's real, I should say.
You can't tell someone about it, because I remember trying to explain to a few people my first experience, and after, I'm the same way you are, completely logical. I have an explanation for everything, a physical explanation. And it took me a couple of straight-up scientifically, electronically produced results before I was like, all right, something's happening here. I don't know if it's a ghost or not, but there's something interesting. And it took several different undisputable encounters before I was like, wow, this is really freaking cool. And I think you have to have that for yourself before you really understand the weight, the magnitude of it. And in that, you find, you know, doctors and lawyers, people from all walks of life who all have this common bond and share amongst each other in their experiences. And I think it's a really powerful thing. And I hope that I get to continue to do it, and the more people we meet in the community, the cooler it becomes, and the more interesting it becomes, and I hope to kind of reach the horror genre side of things and expose it with things like this movie Dwelling, because it's kind of a halfway point to get people's minds wrapped around the idea before they actually experience it themselves.
Mm-hmm. And the whole concept of the film is it sounds really, really intriguing. I mean, you watch Paranormal Activity, which is it's a spook film, and half of it is boring. half
Fun
of it
fact,
is in.
Anna Marie stars in the knockoff version of Paranormal Activity, Paranormal Entity. Which almost outsold Paranormal Activity, by the way. Just fun fact.
You know what? Aaron, I did see that film, and I believe that there was a second one after that, wasn't there? Paranormal Entity 2.
I believe there was. I think they renamed it something else, but they did package them together as one and two. But I wasn't involved in the second one.
Yeah, we were sitting at work, and I brought it up on Netflix, and it was winter time, so we were slow, and we ended up just a bunch of us caught around the computer and watched it, and it was actually
fun.
Better. It was better than Paranormal Activity, as far as the truth behind it. The same concept and everything, but yeah, I mean, it wasn't.
But to anyone
it wasn't
who's listening, spoilers, she lives. Sorry.
Yeah. It wasn't as bad as Paranormal Activity. I'll give it that. But
I totally
yeah, that's kind of what I say about it. but you know, like either way, it was fun. I've gotten a lot of feedback on it. Some bad, some good. You know. A lot of people think that I'm dead, and that means we did pretty well. So, you know, it was something interesting to shoot when the whole found footage thing was going on, and kind of run around, and we spent a lot of time being like, okay, so now we should do something like this. No, because that happens in Paranormal Activity. So we spent a lot of time kind of running around the house like, what are we gonna shoot? Just because our ideas were already taken by the movie we were knocking off, but it was, you know, it was a good time, and I got to have some input with me being somewhat into the paranormal, more so now than I was then. But I did get to have some input to make it, at least to me, slightly more realistic, like in places where I thought other films like that fell short. So it was cool to kind of be like, we're not entirely sure what's going on, but we have a beginning, middle, and end. And, you know, that kind of gave me the opportunity to put a little bit of my knowledge into the film, too. So that was fun.
I have two things. Kevin, I'll shut up in a second. But I have two things. Mark Appleson, I don't know if you ever saw his web series of Madeline and the ghost, like, caught on camera and all that stuff, to where it's, like, personally shot, and it was his daughter who was the ghost and this, that, and the other thing. But it was really cool because he had, like, 67 or 76, I can't remember if it's dyslexia or acurism, of how many points of these series that he has. But yeah, if you look it up, Ghost Caught on Camera, and you see Madeline, who's a girl in white with her hair over her face, kind of like the girl from The Ring, if you will sit and watch those, one, and laugh your ass off, because they're done very, very well as far as the shooting goes and his editing for being him doing it himself.
Right.
Secondly, yeah, I think a lot of the criticism of those kind of films, whether it be Paranormal Activity or Paranormal Entity or any of those, comes from the paranormal community dissecting it and just sending hate mail, because that's not exactly how it is. But when you go on a paranormal investigation, Aaron, you know this, and Devin, I'm sure you know this, and everybody else who's involved that's been on one knows this, it's boring as shit. You really don't, I mean, you'll get some crazy stuff that'll happen here and there, but for the most part, it's sitting around talking to yourself in the dark and walking around and bumping your knees and you know, falling into things. It's not the most glamorous like what they portrayed on TV.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's definitely, you know, a lot of the things when you're actually investigating, when you do get things, you've been there for hours upon hours, whereas when you're watching a TV show, any of these, you know, like documentary type shows, they've been there for a really long time, and they have to squeeze everything into an hour-long episode. And so I think people have this expectation that they're going to go out for an hour and be at a haunted house, and they're going to hear these great things, and then they're going to have this instant gratification, which is a little bit misleading. But that's just because people don't understand that you go and you spend the entire night at these places, and you're not going to go and spend an hour someplace and get all kinds of evidence. That's not really how it works.
And to touch base earlier on what was said in the show, when talking about y'all's movie that you're getting ready to film, to actually have characters that want to go into a location that's haunted, that connects with everybody in the paranormal, because that's exactly what we do. We knowingly go to places where we know, you know, we could possibly get hurt. We could possibly get the hell scared out of us. But, you know, that's the adrenaline rush, you know. And it's kind of like being an actor as well, especially in the horror genre, because, you know, you want to portray good characters in the movie, and you also want to get those great scares, you know,
and
entertain these people. And that's the driving force behind it. And so, being that said, that's a great way for the different spin on a paranormal type horror movie, because, you know, all of us, we knowingly go into these places, and I've seen some crazy ass shit. You know, I've seen somebody fully possessed, and so
wow.
when I see some of these movies. Some of them have done their homework, because the simple fact is some of the stuff that they touch base with on the movie aspect, they've done their research, because some of the things in the possessions that they portray, actually I experienced as well. So I'm like, okay, they've done their homework there, you know, because I've seen this stuff firsthand. So I know when they're BSing their way through, or they've actually talked to, you know, done their research on it. And so, being that said, that's, you know, where I come from. I mean, I've seen a 14-year-old boy slump over and start screaming, and I raise his shirt, and I watch scratches appear on his back like you would see in a Freddy Krueger movie. You know, they would instantly appear on his back. And, you know, I'm sitting here going, holy shit, you know, what the hell is this, you know? But I've seen it with my own two eyes, and, you know, so I think that's the driving force when it comes to the whole paranormal realm, because unlike your slasher movies, you know, you have a killer. A lot of times they get killed, and then they're back for a sequel, and then another sequel, and another sequel. You know, maybe that we all were fans of growing up. But with the paranormal, these things that torment the living, they're already dead. So how do you handle them, you know?
Yep.
And that's the scary part about it.
Well, and one of the big things that with Dwelling, too, is we hit on the idea of, you have to still have respect for these
mm-hmm.
things. I mean, and you have, and like I said, people see these movies and they say, oh, you know, let's go to a cemetery in the middle of the night, and they end up partying and doing, you know, and there's no respect. The thing is the stuff that you're messing with, you have to be respectful for. You know, this is real stuff. This isn't
mm-hmm.
exactly like you said. This isn't. You know, Jason Voorhees, this isn't a slasher. This stuff's real. And, you know, you mess with it enough, you might not like what you're going to get back.
I've told that so many times to clients, you know, and I will say with my paranormal team, I don't know what's in the water around here in Texas, but in my area, it seems like I get the phone calls of the worst cases. That's why I said I've seen a lot of crazy stuff, because these cases are so just off-the-wall type activity. One case, one place we were at, the entity could rearrange furniture in an instant. You'd walk out of the room, come back, and everything's moved.
Wow.
And it's just it's mind-boggling some of the stuff that I've experienced, going, now how in the hell physically can it move all this stuff? You know, it's in another plane. It's in another dimension. How does it move something in our dimension? You know, and those are those questions that we always try to think about and can't explain. And interesting you talk about respect, because a lot of people, they go in and they disrespect the spirits purposely to get activity. Well, when you start throwing, you start throwing gas on the fire, you're not going to like what you're going to get. And a lot of people will go out and they'll play with Ouija boards, and they don't know what they're doing, and they'll go, and they won't tell us. We'll go in, you know, shit's hit the fan, there's all kinds of crazy stuff going on, the kids are scared, people are getting thrown across the room, scratched, the whole nine yards, and two or three interviews later, talking to the family, they go, oh, by the way, we played with a Ouija board. Now we're getting somewhere. Uh-huh. Did this stuff happen after you played with it? Oh, yes. See, you played with something and you opened the door, and now that door is open and anything can come in.
Yeah.
Well, I think what movie that touched on that the best with the Ouija board, too, is because, okay, you know, it happens in Paranormal Activity. But to them, with the character that's doing it, a lot of people, it inspired people. They're like, oh, I want to try it. But if you look at a classic, you look at The Exorcist, and the Ouija board's in there, but it's Reagan playing in the basement for maybe a minute, not even a couple seconds. We see it real quick, and then we move on, and then all of a sudden she becomes possessed. And they just leave it at that as a commentary, like she played with something that ended up becoming dangerous for her. And it's, and these new movies, you know, even though, you know, we love the genre, it's like you have to find that fine line of respect and fun, you know?
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. And showing that in y'all's case with this movie, showing that people are wanting to try to connect with the other side, there's pluses to it and there's the negative to it, you know,
exactly.
Because even when you're respectful and you start opening that door, per se, of communication, you really don't know who the heck you're talking to. You might think you're talking to your grandmother, right? But there are other entities out there that know everything about you and your family and can answer your questions just like your grandmother would, and you keep talking to them, you bring that entity in. So, you know, there's that fine line.
I've actually had an experience related to that where I was stupid in playing with the Ouija board when I was younger. I learned not to do that. But
oh, good.
I asked a question that it answered wrong, and that's how I knew it wasn't. And yeah, that was a scary experience for me because it got a little almost out of hand where I had this overwhelming sense of dread, and yeah, I made my friend who was with me say goodbye to it and make it leave. And yeah, I learned my lesson. Don't play with Ouija boards.
Yeah. I investigated this little hotel in San Diego a few months ago with some paranormal friends of mine, and one of the members of Ghost Hunters Show, and it was a boutique motel, and there's only 10 rooms in there, three of which got emptied before they closed. They gave us the rooms because they refused to stay in them, and they left. It was like, wow, this is fun, right? So in my room, in each of the rooms, they have a diary, so you can track whatever activities and leave your experiences for the guests that come in the future. And so I was reading journal entries, and apparently in my room, one of the
people who are still in the hotel and stays there, they have a cat that died. And so in this particular room, a lot of people were experiencing the cat, and particularly like kneading on your chest or purring, and even like the foot of the bed, the blankets moving or adjusting, snuggling up. And the guy that I was in the room with actually had an experience with the cat. And I was so excited because I was still very new to paranormal at this point. And I didn't know that entities could be possessed as pets. And I'm a huge cat person, so I was really excited to, like, find the cat. And, like, I wanted to keep it. And it was so cute. And, like, I was reading all about it and so excited about my new paranormal cat pet. And what one of the ghost hunter guys explained to me was that exactly what you're saying, you don't know what you're getting. What might come off as this cute, adorable, harmless little kitty to gain your trust might actually be something else. And
yep.
Here you are, you open yourself up to it because, oh, it's purring and kneading on you. And then what did you just literally open your body and soul to have entry to? And so that really bummed me out because I wanted to pet the cat. But it's amazing just how dangerous it can be if you're ignorant to it. You know, here's the kid's game with the Ouija board, which you think, what, it, you know, Maytel made it. Like, how could it possibly be dangerous? But it absolutely is. Same thing with tarot cards. You know, all these teenagers want to, like, find out if their crush is going to, you know, call them tomorrow. In the meantime, you know, you can be possessed. I had a girlfriend who was very, very sensitive growing up, and she would read cards for big events, and it got to the point where she was asking what she should have for dinner, and the cards told her specifically, like, and were 100% correct on everything that they revealed to her, and then eventually started telling her nothing except for she's going to die. And the thing of it is when you have a portal, like some of these tools are, and people who don't know the power they have behind them, it becomes very, very real and very dangerous quickly. So it's awesome to see people like you guys who are out there and available. And so some of these stories you're telling me about your extreme cases are just blowing my mind right now because you see it. And it's happening, and happening a lot, especially now. With the exposure of these big movies to masses, it's a good thing to educate, and as we were talking about before, it's also kind of a burden because you have a bunch of half-educated people running around wanting to, you know, pet the cat.
yeah, exactly. And there's actually a location here in Texas where it's strictly for paranormal teams to go in. They have litter boxes upstairs, and if you get there and you smooth out the litter box and call out the cat, at some point you'll find cat footprints in that litter box. And there's no cat there.
Oh, crazy. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So, but yeah, and a lot of times in some of these extreme cases that I've been involved with, it always starts out with they keep seeing a spirit of a child, right? So that's my first red flag. Okay, it's a child. Because a lot of these evil entities, they take the most innocent thing that they can portray to,
like,
you know, the less scary possible.
Yeah.
And like they say, like you said, they try to earn your trust, and you get intrigued, and you try to open that door of communication with them. And the more you talk to them, the more you're pulling them in, and the more power you're giving them. And when you're playing with Ouija boards and whatnot, it's not necessarily the item itself, right? Because I know some people that have used Ouija boards, but it's all about your intent. If you know your intent, your purpose of what you're doing, and you know how to close it down after you use it, then you're less liable to have, you know, horrible things happen. But a lot of people and for all of us, you know, people that have been in the paranormal for 40 years, we don't know everything. And these things are smart, and they'll try to outwit you. I mean, a lot of times, you got to remember, these entities walk this earth, the majority of them that you're dealing with. They're human beings, you know, so they still think. They still are intelligent on that side, and if they're evil, you know, malicious human spirit, they'll try to mess with you. And we found out a lot of times these spirits, they're psychic in themselves. They know your name. You can go in there and not say anything about your name and turn on the ghost box and ask them to say your name, and they'll do it. Well, how do they know your name if you never mentioned it while you're in that location? So it's real interesting, the things that we deal with in this field.
Then you can also get into dimensional integration, and there's just so many different stuff and different ways that you can go about it, you know.
Yeah, I like to see I like to see a horror movie where they you got ghost hunters that try to communicate with the spirit of, say, Jason Voorhees, and he comes back as a spirit, not a physical body.
I mean, awesome.
Yeah,
that's
nice.
Pretty
good. Hey, Kyle.
Yeah, what's
up? Can you actually, without any spoilers, can you actually fill us in on a little bit of a description, plot line of Dwelling, and how Aaron, Marie Hogan, and do you have any characters, you know, like a little bit about them?
Say that again? Sorry.
Am I breaking up? Could you actually without any spoilers, can you actually fill us in on a little bit of a little bit of a log line synopsis of Dwelling a little bit, and how Aaron, Marie Hogan, and Devaney Penn's characters, you know, what their character entails pretty much?
Okay. Basically, the story is about a young couple played Ellie, who's played by Aaron, and Gavin, who's played by Mushaka Benson, who decide to move into a haunted house. And what's driving Ellie to go into this haunted house is a tragic past that has to do with her sister, River, who is played by Devlin. And her sister, River, has had contact with the paranormal all of her life, in which she hears spirits. And her driving force is she wants to find out what happened in her past. And that's why they go into the house. She's looking to find some reason by, while being respectful, to go into the house, wake up something that could be her conduit into getting the answers that she wants. And behind all this, the tragic past has to do with their mother. And it's a big influence on her all of her life. And if she can talk to her mother, maybe she has the answers. But you go knocking on a door, the person that's on the other side isn't always the person that you want to be knocking back. So that's what the law, at least the basic log lines as well, before getting into the spoilers, because I want to make sure that once we get you to watch this film, you're going to keep fully engaged to see what else happens. So,
definitely. I'm gonna have to have y'all back to promote it when it's released, so that everybody can. Because I definitely am gonna check it out.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm all about helping and promoting people, and it sounds very, very intriguing. Sounds like something most of the folks in the paranormal community would love watching.
Well, and
I
at
really
the same time,
so.
I would fully believe so. And at the same time, too, I host on Wednesday nights normally, and also Sundays with Kevin. But yeah, I mean, if Tuesdays don't work or Sundays don't work, you're always welcome to pop, or anybody's welcome to pop on Wednesday nights and promote it. The one thing I will say, and Kevin, I know we talked about this before the show, and I think before we went live, but for everybody involved in the film community, I do think that I have your next script If you pop on my page at CPR Matt, and you scroll down to where it says story time, I'm not even kidding. You don't have to send me friend requests, like anything like that. Just pop on my page. It's public. CPR Matt. Yeah. Scroll down, read the first story time, and then read the second story time, and it is amazing. I posted it this afternoon. When you heard me laughing in the middle of what you were talking about, I thought I'd hit the mute button on my phone, but I didn't. I was reading through it. It is the most intriguing story and the most hysterical, just impromptu kind of thing. It will make you laugh your ass off. I'm not even kidding you. I get messages and texts all day about this. Basically, how it started was, it was story time, you post two words, and then people comment on those two words. Well, I turned it into, you have 160 characters just like you do a text message. And it took off from there. So, if you have a second, you'll seriously enjoy it. Also, for the directors and the producers of the film, do you guys know, since you're not all that far away from us, and even the, Devin, you're kind of far away, but Aaron, do you know Willie Adkins by chance?
You know, that sounds really familiar. I've been out of the Midwest for 5 years now, so.
Okay.
Yeah, so I've been away for a while, but still have my phone number.
Well, Willie is a great director and producer that's local, and if depending on when the release of the film is. He runs a couple film festivals throughout the year. If you guys want to submit the film, he's a dear, dear friend of mine. I work with him hand in hand on a lot of projects that he has. But for the film festival, I know I can get it in and show it. That wouldn't be a problem at all.
That'd be wonderful. Thank you very much.
So, yeah. Like I said, CPR Matt on Facebook, if anybody wants to get in touch with me. The next film festival is also coinciding with our Paracon in Chicago in November. So it's the week before
Chicago
Thanksgiving.
Paracon. Yeah, yep. Absolutely. That's a good one.
Chicago Ghost Conference. There'll be a bunch of people from all over the country. I know Jeff Langer is going to be here. I think Josh Gates is coming back. But, yeah, they're, and the Ghost Hunters crew, I think we're going to have, I can't say names, but there's going to be two, possibly four of the Ghost Hunters crew here doing me personal favors. So,
very cool.
I don't want to know what those favors are.
No. Meaning taking time out of their family, their family things for Thanksgiving, whether it be the week, it's the week before. So, other plans that they have, they're doing me a favor by stopping by in the Chicago area to help me out. So,
Well, you set yourself up for that one.
Yeah, I did. I agree. That was definitely warranted.
Well, I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask Devin and Aaron this because I've done acting all my life, so I know this. But to tell the audience, because a lot of times they don't know, I'll start with Aaron. Like for this particular film that you're about to start filming, how do you as an actor, how do you prepare yourself for this? What do you do to try to? Because every actor is different. We all have our ways of doing things. What are you going to do to prepare yourself for the film?
I think for this film in particular, especially because there's such a strong vision behind it. And reading the script, there's
so much detail that is obviously extremely important. A lot of my preparation is actually going to be from getting together, like, on Skype, on the phone, things like that, and being able to talk about what the intent is and where this particular scene came from, what this character is thinking, and then from that, I'm going to be able to go back, based on reading the script, through my own experiences and think about what I could possibly relate in this scene. Just in case, a lot of times I like to let scenes kind of play out and see what happens there. But a lot of times you just want to have that backup. You want to have that background story in case for some reason your character just isn't coming across the way that you think your character should be coming across. So I like to have a backup plan, and so I always come prepared with that as well. Things go differently with different films. You know, if I'm playing someone who has a particular disability or a disorder or a certain experience in their life, I go in and I like to research those types of things. So this might be even a situation, I haven't sat down and gotten to it yet, but where I go and talk to people who have lost their mother at a young age and things like that, and feel out what they think about that, how they felt at the time, how they feel about it now being closer to my age, and just trying to pull out the most realistic scenarios and then trying to fit them into how the script is written, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense to me. So at least you're not a method actor. You know what I'm talking about there.
It really depends on where it comes into play. You know, there's like,
right.
What exactly are we talking about, and how far into the method do we want to go? You know, I'm definitely not going to be doing cocaine to play that's not going to be where I'm going. I'm not going to be getting drunk to be playing a drunk. But you know, there's definitely, you know, talking to people, putting yourself into their situation. You know, if you're playing homeless, you know, I played a homeless young woman in a very dramatic play back in 2005, and you know, I stayed outside for like 24 hours, like in the night, and I was like, I can't handle this. But I think that, you know, pretty tame compared to what some people do.
Miss Devaney?
Yeah, I am method, actually. Amusing that we put that. I'm very hands-on. I like to live as much of my characters as possible. I think that overall, in the horror genre, which is where I like to stay mostly, the acting is very short-changed. It's not taken seriously, and the actors playing them don't take it seriously or don't think that it's warranted to have any kind of depth to it. So I take a very polar opposite approach to it. I think that's why I got attention that I did right off the bat, because I do something different. I don't know if it's always the right thing or not, but I do take it very seriously. I also target certain roles. I like things with lots of layers and depth. I like what could be real people in real situations. So this character in particular for me was appealing. I like to play damaged characters. River in the Dwelling movie is institutionalized. So for me in this movie, it's going to be interesting because I'm researching real mental disorders, real people who are institutionalized for different reasons, people who hear voices, how they hear them, why they hear them, who they think they're hearing, and what torments them. And so I want to balance this character for the skeptics and the paranormal fans. So that way, up until, you know, the twists and turns that will be revealed in the movie when you watch it, you don't know if it's really just a girl who's having mental issues or if there is really something that she is seriously hearing that others aren't. And that's a lot of fun to kind of find the fine line for and play too.
Yeah, you know, and like I said earlier, whether you met, I've done a combination of both what y'all talk about, and I totally agree. It's whatever works for you as an actor, and it also depends on the type of role that you're undertaking. If they do have a lot of layers to them, and so I can relate to what both of you done, because I do that as well when I'm preparing for a role. Getting into that, when you're in a horror film, and some people probably want to know this, when you're in some of these scenes, these real intense scenes where you're getting murdered or you're getting chased or whatever the traumatic event that's happening in that scene, do you emulsion, are you one of those, and you can answer this either way, and I'll start with Aaron. Are you one of those that immerse yourself so much in that moment of that shot that your reactions are totally coincide with what the person that you're portraying would? Or do you have to draw something from your life that scared the hell out of you to get those emotions across?
That's actually a really good question, because I've had to, depending upon what I'm working on and who I'm working with, I've had to do both. My personal preference is that I immerse myself in the scene and I allow the person that or people that I'm acting with and the situation that has been set up to play out in the most realistic way that's possible. So as things are happening, I'm in the scene, the other actors are in the scene, and therefore what's going to happen is all of those reactions are going to be maybe not what was entirely intended, but they're going to be completely realistic and authentic. On the other hand, that's not always possible to get the story across. Sometimes things that come about during a scene are completely authentic, but they might not work later in the story. They don't make sense. Or you might be working with somebody who just for you isn't bringing out those emotions, and so you have to draw from your personal experience, and that's why I like to have those types of experiences on hand, because sometimes, for lack of a better word, you've got to fake it and remake it.
Yeah. Devin?
Very much what Aaron said. It really depends on the film and the tone and who you're working with and how. There's the generic, yeah, you're scared. And there's a lot of different kinds of people and kinds of reactions and subtleties. But one of the great things that everyone can understand and get is something as simple as fear. Or death or pain, and that comes to a pretty basic place. And from there, depending on the scenario and the kind of movie you're doing, the kind of scenes you're doing, you can tweak it as necessary. To get to something that deep at first used to take me a lot of time and really being in the moment to get there, but it's kind of what I do now, so now I can just get there in a spot. And it's a lot of fun for me. I love doing death scenes or like the peak moment scenes. I think they're a lot of fun. It used to be a very emotional experience and exhausting to do and keep up. Now that I've kind of mastered on how to get myself there, it's fun to play with. It's fun to experience with. You tweak it as necessary. If you're doing a horror comedy, your reaction to your death scene might be portrayed a little differently than if you're doing, you know, a paranormal film or if you're doing a torture film. You know what I mean? There's different elements and different ways to bring it in. I get asked a lot, like, don't you want to do something outside horror or besides some of these darker films? And the thing of it is, like, I think a lot of mainstream actors only know how to bring one version of that. And if you love the genre, which I do, there's so many subtleties and so many different ways and things that you can do. And you know this from being an actor, as a performer, you want to get a reaction out of your audience. I think the same thing with paranormal. That's why you go into the house, because you want to have those experiences. You want to have those thrills. When you watch a horror movie,
you want to be scared. You want to be in the seat. You want to have some kind of feeling. And I think only horror and comedy can literally get an audience out of their seat or interacting
mm-hmm.
with it. You know what I mean? So it's very rewarding. And I love the costumes, the stunts, and the makeup. And it's all just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Hey, Kevin, real quick. I don't want this to go into archive without, since we have so many people involved, throughout plugs, throughout contact information, whatever the hell you want, it's the floor. So I guess we will start with the writer and director. Any kind of information that you want to give out?
Dwelling right now, we have a Kickstarter running. It's go to kickstarter.com/dwelling. You go there. We are trying to fundraise.
Dwelling movie.
For the movie. For the movie. For our budget. So, I mean, if you liked what you heard tonight, you're interested in the story, go there, and if you can contribute in any way you want or share it with people that you know, that would be phenomenal. Brandon, do you have anything else?
Yeah, it's facebook.com/dwellingmovie. You'll find something different if you go to Dwelling. So. Yeah, and by the way, we haven't mentioned it yet. We're constantly posting the updates on the Kickstarter, so all you got to do is go to that link, and you'll find every bit of info that we're posting on there. We actually had a new incentive up last week. Aaron and Devaney actually had a photo taken, and that is our newest reward. And I'm absolutely shocked that it's not selling as much as it is, because I really want to buy one, but that would be kind of pointless. So, definitely check out that photo, because they're going to autograph them and send them out once this campaign's over, and this campaign's got to succeed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Like I do want to push just that the campaign has to work, because we're so excited about this film, and it just has the potential to be so great with everybody that's involved, and the script is just something that I'm really, really excited to do. But the thing about the Kickstarter is that we have to raise all the money, and if we don't raise all the money, it's not like we can be like, oh, well, we raised $530, so we're going to take that and run. We need all of it. If there's interest in donating anything at all, if you can do it through the Kickstarter, that's great. If you want to do it otherwise, you can always contact Brandon and find out. But it's kind of a all or nothing situation with those kinds of websites.
And there's no amount too big or too small. There's perks from a few dollars all the way up to the full amount, and cool stuff to be had everywhere in between. We understand people of different financial states, so if you're not interested in getting involved financially, we're really, really interactive. All of us, from the director all the way down to our PAs, everyone's really, really active on social media and on the pages, on the Kickstarter. There is a Facebook page for Dwelling, too, where you can interact with us. Come chat paranormal. If you'll, retweet or share our links, if you watch the trailer and you think that your paranormal friends would like to watch the movie when it's done, please share it for us and get in touch with us. Tell us about your paranormal experiences and what you would like to see in movies. We're all really, really active, and we do it because it's what we love and what we're interested in, and we hope that you are, too.
Hey, real quick, if you can do this, I was just trying to look it up on Facebook, and I wasn't getting pretty much a lot of response, and it seems like it's a little hard to find. If you could either tag myself on CPR Matt or Kevin in the link to the Facebook page, and then we'll put it out, and I'll also promo it on my show tomorrow.
Awesome, thank
you.
So,
yeah, we'll try and get a bunch of people behind it, a bunch of people involved. Tag the Facebook page, and I'll link the Kickstarter page to the show link tomorrow, and I'll put it out there. I know I have a few people that will be able to do it also on shows on different networks. So
that would be really wonderful. We appreciate it, seriously.
Yeah, Danny, if you just you know my Facebook, Casper Man, if you link it to me, I'll put it on the URN Radio Networks fan page.
Thank you. I appreciate all the
radio shows, yeah, and that'll help out. Like I said, I really like what you guys are about to embark on, and
thank you.
It's gonna be great for the horror genre and for the paranormal community. So anything that we can do to help y'all, we'll do it.
Thank you so much. We really, really do appreciate that. And it makes a huge difference. People don't realize, my Dahlia movie was just a few thousand dollars and a few of us who really had something we wanted to tell. And paranormal fans just talking amongst each other and being so supportive in the community that they are, they gave that movie wings. And we got to Redbox and we were up there on number 3 with Conjuring and Curse of Chucky. This tiny little movie just because paranormal fans backed it. Y'all are so powerful, and your voice is really, really, it does matter. So that's why I'm very glad to be here tonight and talking with you guys and networking with you guys. Please do contact us. I'm going to be sharing this link and this podcast as soon as it posts, and I'll be actively promoting it through the rest of the campaign and the rest of the season. So if you're listening to this archive, look us all up, everyone on here, and please do share and get in touch. Let us know what you like. And as for you guys, the host, thank you for having us on here and supporting it. We really appreciate it. I will send you all the links and tag everybody in it so we can all keep in touch, which I hope you will. And
Devaney, at some point, if you could send me the Black Dahlia, I'd like to watch it.
Absolutely.
We talked about it. And,
absolutely send it.
How have you not seen it, and I've seen it numerous times?
I haven't seen it. Sometimes it slips through the cracks, you know? I can't see everything all the time. And
You're flexing, brother.
Hang on, but if you guys need anything, you know, if you the director, producers, if any of you guys need any of my stories, of my experiences with the paranormal that kind of help, just hit me up, and I'll be willing to share anything that I've experienced in my numerous years of being in this film. You know, anything, because I know the more information you guys get, the more you can do with the film.
Oh yeah, let me know. I mean, keep my wheels turning. You know, it's, you never know if it might end up in a final product. And I expect you to be the first one in line at our premiere too when this is made. So.
Well, how about this too? We never discussed what the production company is. Contact information. Any interest?
We're Bewildered Media Productions is the name of our production company. Do you want to give them
website or
website? Yeah, there we go.
www.bewilderedmedia.com, and you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/bewilderedmedia. I think that's, or we have a Twitter, kind of a mix between my Twitter. Look up at Bewildered MP. Yeah, that's about it, I think.
And anything else besides any other point? I mean, we got 6 minutes left. So I'm live before it goes into archive. So I'm trying to pick brains of as much exposure as we can possibly get here. So
okay, please watch the trailer. Share that. My website is devaneypin.net. I am on Facebook, facebook.com/devaney.pin. My fan page is devaneypin online. I'm also on Twitter @devaneypin. If you can't spell it, I can't either. It's okay. It usually comes up pretty close. And I'm very, very active. please get in touch. I get in touch with everybody. Aaron, go. Aaron and I tweet each other, so join in.
Oh, yeah. We tweet each other a lot and retweet things. And I think things end up getting retweeted, like, a million times. But,
yes.
My website is erinmariehogan.com. I'm also on Facebook. My fan page is /erinmariehogan. My Twitter and my Instagram are both erinmarieomg because somebody logged into my account and hacked it. And now Erin Marie Hogan.
That was me.
Oh, that was you. Thanks, Dad.
Yeah.
Erin Marie Hogan's Twitter account just contains links to all of my nude scenes. So that's nice. I didn't do that. So now I'm Erin Marie OMG. So please go there, and then I can contact you. but yeah, I like
they're
talking
all going to the other
meeting.
Thing now.
You
know. Oh, and you guys, anybody in your movie genre, you know, your buddies, your contacts, anybody that's actively in you know, acting in a film or producing, directing, whatever it might be, and they want to come on the show, just have them contact me because I want to do this more often and help the horror genre get more recognition and get their movies out.
Indie horror artists and paranormal people are all on the same page, and I think it's so awesome that people are starting to now connect and cross-promote and join each other's circles. It's really awesome and very much appreciated on both parties. So I'm going to make sure that the producers and director get in touch with you and do that. Great.
Before we go off air, I just want to say thank you to all of you for taking some time out of your everyday lives and coming on with us tonight.
Thank you.
Thrilled to be here.
It's been a lot. I've had family who's been in the entertainment industry in Hollywood with the Tonight Show and acting, directing for a long, long time. So it's always extremely cool and heartfelt to me to hear everybody's stories. So, and also, hey, if something pops up and you're looking for something or if you see something, let me know. I may have a hookup to put it out there and promote it a hell of a lot more than what just blog talk and Facebook can do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. That would be great.
We appreciate it. Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us, guys. Really glad I got to be here.
All right. Well, all of you have a great night, and we'll stay in contact, and good luck on your filming for this movie. We look forward to seeing it, and we'll help try to raise as much money as possible.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
All right. You guys have a good night.
Thank you. Good night, guys. Thank you for
bye.
Being here.
Good night.
Bye.
All right.
There goes Kevin. Well, all right. Kevin's answer to everything when there's a lull is, well, all right.
He's from Texas.
I'm from Texas, too.
I know. I'm just saying with y'all.
Yeah. You know, Melissa, you were quite talkative throughout the evening.
Oh, I was just letting you do what y'all were doing. I was just listening. I was like, wow, sounds like it would be a really good movie. I hope they get the money together to make it. That would be great.
Well, that's what I was putting out there. I'm like, hey, no, just let me know and I can shop it. Because, I mean, my family's worked in Hollywood for a long time and they know a lot of people. Like, my uncle's best friend is Clint Eastwood. So, let's make a phone call and say, hey, any interest or anybody you'd suggest for this? Let me call Clint. He should, or he or she should contact this person. That's usually how it goes.
Yeah, it's all about who you know and connections and everything to get stuff started. Yep.
Yeah. So, that's a good show. Like I said, that's one thing with Terrify Radio I wanted to do is have people from the horror genre on, you know, because it ties into the paranormal a lot. And all of us that are in the paranormal, we like watching those type of movies. So definitely want to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Now, next week we should have Misty and Ashley back. Like I said, they were on a long road trip this weekend, and they hit me up earlier, and they're still trying to drive back home. So hopefully they'll make it safe, and they'll be joining us again next Tuesday. I don't have a guest book, so Melissa, and
okay.
I'll tell Misty and Ashley, if anybody has an idea who you want me to book, just let me know. I'll start trying to book for next Tuesday tomorrow. And then the following Tuesday will be our two-year anniversary show. So that should be a huge party. I'll be inviting all the hosts from all the other shows on the network to come join us. And I'll be hitting my buddy Jody up to see if she will make a special appearance on the show, since she's the one that started the show from the very beginning. And, go from there.
I'm going to see if I can get Sarah to call in.
Sure.
Because we haven't talked to Sarah in a long time. So, I think getting Jody and Sarah, never mind. We'll talk about the other one off air.
And Melissa, you and Ashley and Misty will enjoy Miss Jody. She's very lively, and you will laugh your ass off.
Yeah, we laughed pretty good last time. I thought we had her
right.
Yeah, she's going to be pleasantly surprised at the new co-host for the show, because she's not the only one that's funny and that's got a mouth on them and will say whatever they want to say.
Yeah. Y'all are sprightly, too.
Well, yeah, Melissa's kind of quiet tonight, but I'll tell you, Melissa, she can be pretty spry, and she can talk, I can tell you. I talked to her off air, so she was just kind of sitting back tonight and enjoying it.
I was listening. I was hearing. It was a lot of people on the air, so I didn't want to feel like I was interrupting and stuff like that, too. So I kind of let talk and just kind of sat back and said, okay, that's all good.
You know, that was the thing, is it's like you have to jump in and shut everybody up and start talking if you want to say anything.
Yeah, Melissa, I wanted to jump in a couple times, but somebody else, won't name, kept talking.
Yeah, that'd be me. And I was bringing up valid points and continuing a conversation, thank you very much.
I'm just messing with you, Matt. All right, well, see, me being the damn host of the network, I almost forgot. So we'll just go out with this tonight, because I forgot to play the mandatory sponsor. So being said, that's what we'll go out with. This is Chris Melanchon's company down in New Orleans. If you're down that way, check them out. And they're a sponsor of the URN Radio Network, so I'm going to play that. And everybody have a good night. Tune in tomorrow for Full Spectrum Radio, same time, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Central Time with Matt and Dennis. Everybody have a good night.
Good night, everybody.
All right, good night, everybody.
Good.
Going to New Orleans for the weekend, for vacation? Are you wanting to take a ghost hunting tour but tired of the same old walking tours where you don't even get to go into the locations? And you're not even sure if the history is accurate? Well, call NOLA Ghost Hunting Tours. This team of guys are going to take you into a real haunted location where you're going to get to use the state-of-the-art equipment that ghost hunters use. Be the paranormal investigator. You get to work with an experienced, competent team of investigators and have the real, true paranormal experience. Experience the dark side of New Orleans. Call NOLA Ghost Hunting Tours. They have tours Friday through Monday. Tours start at 7 and at 10 p.m. For more information, call 504-708-3567.